Good morning. Let's get started. Everybody come in, get a seat. Let's get started. Let's open with a prayer. God, thank you so much for the time we can meet together this morning. God, we really want to look into your word and see what you have to say to us about how we use the money that you let us have. God, we know that all things are yours. We are only managers of it. We pray that we can use it the way you want us to, God. I pray that the things that are said today will be encouraging and useful, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I really want to thank Peter Berry. He is probably the mastermind behind all of this. I think Steve and the elders came to Peter a few weeks ago and talked about doing something like this, and he put it together. Also want to thank Glenn Hayes, who is not here this week, but he had some great things to say last week. He really set me up for what I'm going to talk about today. I've got the fun task of talking about debt and slavery, and that's not fun for anybody. Oh, and I want to follow up a couple of points from my last class. I had a conversation with a brother right after the service, and we were talking about tithing. And God loves you. He does not love you more if you tithe. He does not love you less if you do not tithe. Tithing is not a salvation issue. Okay, let me make that clear. If I said anything like that last week, I did not mean to. Another point I want to follow up. Another brother came to me. I made the point last time. I said you've got to live on less than you make. And I had a scripture for it, but I did. If for some reason it didn't show up in my lesson. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get." Another verse on that, Proverbs 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So what I'm saying is you've got to live on less than you make. In other words, children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. Okay, so I want to open it up a little bit for some questions here. What are some of the causes of the debt? Shannon.
Pursuing an education.
Education. Pursuing an education. Well, more specifically, you can pursue an education without debt, but student loans. Okay? Jeff? I want it now, and I'm going to get it now. Jason. Life circumstances. Sometimes things happen to us that are completely out of our control. It's beyond our control. We didn't do anything wrong, but we need to be prepared for emergencies. Okay, emergencies are going to happen. So, well, let me back up a little bit. Jennifer and I do financial coaching, and we lead Financial Peace University. And one of the things we teach people is that you've got to have an emergency fund. You've got to, before you do anything else, you have got to have an emergency fund. You've got to put some money away for life's little emergencies. So anyway, let me go on. I looked up some other causes of debt. These are in no particular order. They may not all apply to us. Student loans, we talked about. Medical bills. Sometimes you have unexpected medical bills. Payday loans. I don't know. Gambling. Gambling is a problem. Car payments. Credit cards. I think that touches on what Jeff said. We want what we want now. We don't want to wait for it. home equity loans, mortgages. I put mortgages there. What I'm particularly thinking of is getting into a house that you really can't afford, taking on debt that you really don't have the resources for. Who in here watches the show Jeopardy? A lot of you. I know Steve Collier does. I came across this show actually a couple of years ago, and I recorded it, and then I edited it to, they had a lot of things to say about debt, or the causes of debt. Let's see. Got the video?
Cause of debt. The short duration of these rhyming loans given in advance of your next work check can mean high fees. Julia.
What are payday loans?
Yes.
Debt for $2,000.
A study found that these contributed to 62% of personal bankruptcies in the year 2007. Jim.
What are mortgages?
No. Joshua.
What are medical bills?
That's it. Julia.
Debt for $1,200.
Answer there. Julia Double. You trail Joshua by an even thousand.
$4,000.
Okay, here is the clue for you in cause of debt. The National Council on the Problem Type of This Activity says it affects 6 to 9 million Americans.
What is gambling?
Gambling is right, yes.
Debt for $800, please.
Be careful with getting a HELOC, this type of line of credit. Your house could go bye-bye. Julia?
What is high equity?
No. Joshua or Jim? It's a little weird. It's just home equity, not high equity. Julia, back to you.
Debt for $400.
One analysis says that those who graduated in 2012 with these had an average of almost $30,000. Julia?
What are student loans?
Correct.
Okay.
Ever wonder why most people borrow money the way they do?
Stop.
They use loans.
Stop.
Loans and credit cards without giving it much thought.
That's not supposed to come at this point in the lesson. Let me go back to that a little bit later. The borrower is slave to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. It got quiet. Okay. I've got to open this up for a discussion. What's good debt versus bad debt? Anybody? Yeah. What? Mortgage, yes. Okay. Mortgage can be a good debt. It can be a bad debt, but it can be a good debt. Elaine? Medical, right. Danny, investment in a business. So borrow money to go into business? That's pretty risky. Review. Business line of credit is kind of what he was saying. I don't know about that. Todd. Okay. Well, let me go. Let's see what the Bible says about debt. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Proverbs 22:7, I already mentioned that. The rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This one is one of my favorites. Proverbs 22, 26 through 27. Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. So what is saying? Co-signing. You co-sign for a loan for someone to buy a car, buy a house. The reason lending institutions require a co-signer is because they don't think the person's going to pay back. So if you co-sign for someone, you could get stuck with that loan. Okay, how did debt become a way of life? Now here's where I need that video that we had earlier. How did debt become a way of life?
Ever wonder why most people borrow money the way they do? They use loans and credit cards without giving it much thought. Want it now but don't have all the money for it? Hey, no problem. I'll just put it on this little piece of plastic and it's mine. Buy now, pay later has become a way of life for the normal American. Right now, the average total household credit card debt is over $15,000. And the average student loan debt is about $30,000. That's a lot of money to pay back. And that doesn't even count the interest. Later in this class, you're going to learn why credit cards and car loans are such a terrible idea. But first, we need to ask a question. How did we get here? Let's take a quick look at the evolution of the credit industry in America. Before 1917, buying things on credit was extremely rare. That's because there were laws preventing lenders from charging high enough interest rates. That meant lenders couldn't make much money by offering loans to working Americans, so they didn't bother with it. Sure, there were small-time loan sharks who took advantage of broke, scared, and desperate people. But these were shady businesses, and the high interest rates they charged were totally illegal. Jump ahead to 1920. World War I had ended, and the consumer demand for big-ticket manufactured products skyrocketed. Around that time, lawmakers were trying to shut down the illegal loan sharking industry, so they relaxed the credit laws and made it profitable for respectable banks to offer loans. And what do you get when you mix consumer demand for stuff and the legalization of personal loans? Well, in the 1920s, you got the birth of the American credit industry. Then a little bit later, at the tail end of the 20s and into the 30s, the Great Depression was raging. The government relaxed lending laws even more to help banks stay profitable. Then, moving into World War II, the economy improved a lot because the war created a ton of new jobs. After the war, the soldiers came home, the economy was in a lot better shape, and the lending laws were still relaxed. That pretty much set the stage for the birth of the credit card in the 1950s. Debt was becoming easier and more socially acceptable for the consumer, and it was more profitable for the lenders. It was a perfect storm. The credit monster has grown like crazy since then. In the past 50 or 60 years, debt has gone from something people were a little ashamed of to something that's totally normal in our culture. Banks keep coming up with all new and different ways to get our money. Everything from high interest rates to a million different little fees that pick our pockets. And we as a society have become so addicted to debt that we still get excited when we're approved for a credit card. We think, hooray, I've been given the opportunity to lose all my money and spend my life in debt. I'm so lucky. The bottom line is that a lot of people you think look wealthy are completely broke. A big house, nice car, and flashy jewelry may look great on the outside, but most of the time these days, it just means that the mailbox is filled with outrageous bills and that the house is filled with unbelievable stress about how to pay for them. This is not the American dream. It's a trap. But there's a better way, a way to have everything you need, a whole lot of what you want, and a legacy you'll be proud to leave to your kids someday. That's the kind of stuff we're going to cover throughout this class.
Okay. I should have given the disclaimer. That's a promotional video for Financial Peace University that we lead. So the class that they're talking about is Financial Peace University, which we lead. Jennifer and I lead a class usually once in the spring and once in the fall. A lot of you have been in it. If you haven't been in it, think about it. Okay. Okay, I've got some practicals for you. I'm not typically a numbers guy. I'm definitely not a spreadsheet guy, but I did a little bit of research. The average household income in Georgia, I don't think I put that, in Georgia right now is about $55,775. After taxes, that's about $39,042. That makes your monthly take-home pay about $3,253. Okay? Are you with me? You see all we got there? Okay. The average home price in Atlanta is $184,900. $185,000. Okay. The typical family brings home $55,000. Typical house, $185,000. On a 30-year mortgage, they're going to pay $869 a month, or about 27% of their take-home pay. With me on that? If you did that on a 15-year mortgage, you're going to pay $1,288, or that's about 40% of your take-home pay. Now, does this sound doable? Buying a house on 40% of your take-home pay. Okay? The total cost, the house that costs $185,000, if you pay it through for 30 years, you're going to end up paying $287,500. Okay. That same house, if you buy it on a 15-year mortgage, is $232,600. That's $54,900 more on a 30-year loan as opposed to a 15-year loan. I want you to think long term. Remember where the slide earlier said, children do what feels good, adults devise a plan and follow it. You may think, well, I want this house. I can't afford it on a 15-year mortgage. So I'll get a 30. You know, young, pay for it for 30 years. You're gonna end up paying almost $55,000 more if you're doing it that way. In the coaching that Jennifer and I do, and in Financial Peace University, we recommend that people take out a mortgage of no more than 25% of your take-home pay on a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. So this $185,000 house, is that going to work for the person, the family that brings in $55,000 a year? No. In order to buy a house on a 15-year mortgage with having a down payment of 10% and no more than 25% of your take-home pay, you could buy a house that costs $135,000. Everybody's quiet. Okay, I've got some more practicals. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Okay, car payments. We talked about cars. Who likes new cars? Everybody likes new cars. They smell nice. Did you know that you can actually buy spray that makes your car smell like a new car? Anyway, so the average new car price in Atlanta right now is $33,560. According to Edmunds.com, the average monthly payment on a new vehicle is $479. That's about 15% take-home pay of the family that makes $55,000 a year, putting 15% into your car payment. New cars lose somewhere between 15 and 25% of their value every year. You buy a new car, A year later, it's worth somewhere between 15 and 25% less. After 2 years, the car is worth $21,478, 64% of the original value. It originally cost $33,500. 2 years later, it's worth $21,500. After 4 years, that $33,000 car is worth $13,000. It's 41% of its original value. So, what do you think might be a good idea? To buy a used car. Okay? Unless you've got the money to throw that much money away, buy a used car. I own two cars. The car that I drive is a 1997 Honda Civic. I bought it used. I paid cash for it. Our good car, the car that Jennifer drives, is a 2004 Honda Element. We paid cash for that car. We've got, well, to be honest, we don't have a lot set aside in our car replacement fund right now. We've got a car replacement fund. We know eventually those cars are going to die. But I've got enough money sitting in my emergency fund that if either one of those cars were to die, I could go replace it tomorrow with cash. Having an emergency fund. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about contentment. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's being content with what you have. Not wishing you had what somebody else had, or what you saw somebody else had on Facebook. You know, on Facebook, people only post the best stuff about themselves. When they mess up, they don't post it on Facebook. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. I don't think that's all there. Yet true godliness with contentment is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing. It's not all there. Somehow I messed that up. Anyway, look up the verses. I don't have it all there. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Where Paul had prayed to God to take away his thorn in the flesh, and God said, basically, my grace is all you need. Okay, I've got some suggested reading. This book, let me say this. I am not trying to sell books. You don't have to go out and buy this book. If you want to check it out from the library, you're fine. If you want to listen to some of his podcasts, he's fine. But the Total Money Makeover, we read this book about 13 years ago. It really changed our lives. We were, at that time, $26,000 in debt. We, since then, paid off all that except for our mortgage. We moved to Gwinnett County. First house, we had a temporary house. Then we moved into the house we are now. We moved into the house we're in now about 8 years ago. We bought it with a 15-year mortgage. It was about 17% of my take-home pay. We've been in the house now for about 8 years, and we're on track to pay it off in the next 4 years. So anyway, great book about how to get out of debt, how to build wealth and be very generous with it. Lots of other stuff in there. Some more books I've got. This one, Rachel Cruze, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. It talks about contentment. How about being content with what you have? Not, like I said, not looking at Facebook and seeing what somebody else has. Another book, The Graduate Survival Guide, 5 Mistakes You Can't Make in College. I highly recommend this book for teenagers, parents of teenagers, high school students, parents of high school students. Things you need to know before you go to college. Shannon talked about student loans. This talks a lot about how you can go to college without student loans. Anthony O'Neill and Rachel Cruze, both of them, if you like to follow stuff on YouTube, they both got YouTube channels. They talk a lot about how to go to college debt free. Young singles, young professionals, young marrieds, starting your life off debt free. Good stuff. Chris Hogan. I don't know why I get emotional. I love Chris Hogan. He taught us our financial coaching. We went to Nashville for a week, and we started out in the mornings. He led a devotional. We had a morning session. We had lunch together. We had afternoon sessions. We had supper together. We all sat around the table. He's a good guy. But he talks about how to retire, how to set yourself up to retire. You don't wait till you're 50, till you're 55, till you're 60. Start young, in your 20s. You're right out of college, working your first job, you get out of debt, and then you start saving for retirement. Oh, not time to get your kids. Okay. I have a little bit of time for questions. Open it up for questions. I know I didn't talk a lot about credit cards. I didn't talk that much about student loans. If you've got really specific questions that we can't really answer in this kind of forum, get with me afterwards or make an appointment with us. I said, Jennifer and I do financial coaching. For married couples, we do it together. For men, I do it. For women, Jennifer does it. But if you want to get with us, make an appointment, we would love to sit down with you, free of charge. Jennifer. Yeah, make sure. Yeah, it's free of charge. We do not charge for this service. But anybody got any questions on any of the stuff we talked about today? You're right. I never clarified what is good debt versus bad debt. The only thing I would probably say is good debt is a mortgage. And it's not impossible to buy a house with 100% down, to buy it with cash. It's not impossible. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of sacrifice. But if you've got the mentality, you know, I want what I want it now, it's not going to work for you. But mortgage would probably be the only thing I would consider a good debt. And then the guidelines we give is no more than 25% of your family take-home pay on a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage. Okay? There were things mentioned about business loans. There's a lot of risk involved in business loans. You've heard of situations where somebody borrows, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to start a business. They try to do it for a year and it goes belly up. What happens? They're stuck with the debt. A lot of businesses start very small and build up. I would really recommend doing that. I would not recommend borrowing to start a business, even if it's 0%. I would not recommend that. Jenny?
I have a question about retirement.
Retirement. Yes and no. Let me back up a little bit about that. She asked about what kind of percentage you should put in for retirement. By the plan that we do, and I'm not saying that this is the only plan. When I earlier said buy Dave Ramsey's book, I'm not saying Dave Ramsey is the only way you can do this. There are other programs that are proven successful. Crown Financial Ministries, I know, is one of them. But there's other programs that are proven successful. If you've just got, well, this is my plan, you know, I'm Frank Sinatra, I want to do it my way, you know, I would not recommend that. If you know someone who has been successful, I have a couple of examples. Alan Rouse is my financial hero in the faith. Steve Collier, Peter Barry, these guys, if you want to go to any of them to get advice on how you should do your finances. Now, back to your question about retirement. I do not recommend that you put any money into retirement until you're out of debt. We do what we call the baby steps. And I'm not going to go into all the baby steps right now, but I recommend that you pay off all of your debt, except for your mortgage, pay off all of your consumer debt before investing in retirement. And at that point, I would say put in 15% of your household take-home pay. If your job has a 401k with a match, take advantage of that. Put in as much as you can up to the match. If they've got a Roth, that's even better. Roth means you pay taxes on it now, but after it grows and you need it, you don't pay taxes on it. So the government is going to take their taxes one way or the other. It's better. Well, let me ask this question. Do you think taxes are going to be more now or more in 20 or 30 years from now? More later, probably. So it's better, huh? Not necessarily. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Alan's blowing my point here. But I'm saying if your company offers a Roth, contribute to the Roth. If you're under the age of 55, you can contribute up to $5,500 a year. Or a married couple can contribute, was that $11,000 a year? If you're over 55, like I am, you can contribute up to $6,500 per person or $13,000. So do that. But first of all, start off with, go with your company 401k up to their match. And then I would say then go with a Roth. And then you get it up to 15%. Well, your goal is you want it up to 15%. If your Roth will get it up to 15%, then that's great. If not, if you maxed out your Roth IRAs, then go back to your company and invest more in there in the non-matching. Anyway, a little bit involved question. Anybody else got a question?
Yes.
Yeah. He asked me, is it okay to have a credit card if you pay off your balance? I preach no credit cards. This is my own personal conviction. Okay, this is mine. I'm not going to impose my beliefs on anybody else. But my belief is that when you use a credit card, you're borrowing money, you're paying it back. You're borrowing money, you're paying it back. You're borrowing money, you're paying it back. It's a continuous cycle of borrowing and paying back. And what was that? The borrower is slave to the lender. I don't want to be a slave. If it means buying a car on a car payment, I'm not going to do it. I will ride a bicycle before I borrow money to buy a car. So there are a few people who have the discipline who use a credit card wisely and pay it off every month. And if you do that, if you're one of those people, that is great, great for you. I would say, though, that probably 90 to 95% of all the people do not do that. You say, well, I want to use it so I can get my bonus points, so I get my airline miles. You end up spending a lot more money going thinking I'm going to get this reward, right? So to answer your question, is it ever okay? In rare circumstances, I say it might be. For the most part, I would say no. All right. Anybody else? Jennifer? Yeah. So the Bible says, I have learned to be content. It's not something we naturally are. You have to learn it. And Peter. Yes. Right. Okay. Learning patience. Okay. If you go out to the car dealer and you see a car that has a $500 car payment and say, I want that now, but the car you're driving is not absolutely dead, then go back home that month, save $500, put it away. The next month, put away $500. The next month, put away $500. Do that for a year. What would you have after a year of $500 a month? $6,000 car. Then go find a good used 4-year-old, 5-year-old car for $6,000 and pay cash for it. But you want a better car than a $6,000 car. Well, okay. You got your $6,000 car. Do the same thing for another year. Save another $500 every month. Okay, at the end of the second year, you've got a $6,000 car and $6,000 in cash. Go to another car dealer find yourself up. You can trade that car back in. You probably won't get the $6,000 for it, but if you say, I'll get $5,000 for it, get an $11,000 car. That's a pretty nice car, a used car. Okay? But there's the whole thing is, like Jennifer was saying, learning to be content, having patience, and not, you know, I want what I want it now. Okay? Any other questions? I think we are out of time. Now I've got my slide that says, go to square up your kids. I don't know what that means. Anyway, thank you.